This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me as my colleague and co-host. And we turn to a term of art, most favored nation, a.k.a. PNTR, China, the permanent normal trade relations. This is important. Most nations you can name that you would holiday in enjoy PNTR. There's just a small list that doesn't, very small list. You'll recognize them as well. Russia, an adversary of NATO. Belarus, an ally of Russia. North Korea, an ally of Russia. Cuba, an ally of Russia. We welcome Alan Tonelson, our guide in manufacturing and trade in America for many years. Alan, there is a story, I'm looking at it right now from the Voice of America, that there are voices in Congress, we can presume in the new Congress, and the new administration, who believe most favored nation status, PNTR, is inappropriate for the hostility of the People's Republic of China. What does that mean, taking it away from them? What would happen? Good evening to you.
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. Actually, in practical terms, in real world terms, it wouldn't mean that much. And the reason, and what we need to focus on instead is how free President Trump will feel to impose major tariffs on China as he proposed during his presidential campaign. And he's never been reluctant to do that, but there are those in both Democratic Party and Republican Party camps who have said that he's not able to do that according to international law, because the World Trade Organization prevents that, and because China's in the World Trade Organization, one's not allowed to do that. But the fact is that during Trump's first administration, he managed to effectively neuter the World Trade Organization's ability to restrain U.S. tariff policy by refusing to nominate judges to what's basically a World Trade Organization court that winds up deciding tariff and trade-related disputes. And since that court has been effectively neutered, Trump can do anything that he wants to. Again, in practical terms, regardless of whether China's trade status, according to U.S. law and according to international law, changes or not.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Alan, the World Trade Organization seems, as you say, neutered. But in general, I think we see countries turning away from the whole concept of the WTO and moving to regional free trade pacts. It seems to me that world trade right now is changing in ways that the WTO has almost become irrelevant. Is that true, or do you see it in a different light?
I actually haven't seen that much movement into trade blocks, with the very notable exceptions of the United States with the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement that the first Trump administration reached. And of course, the European Union has always been a pretty solid trade bloc itself. What I have seen much more of in the more recent past has been various countries deciding to impose tariffs on imports for a wide variety of reasons. The first reason has been that they've wanted greater health security and less reliance on countries like China for medical supplies and, frankly, for other strategic goods. But the second reason is that countries have been fed up with having to absorb China's overcapacity, its whopping overcapacity, in many different industries, steel and automobiles. And so they've started to tariff Chinese products on that individual basis. And the European Union has actually been kind of a leader in that respect.
Alan, the puzzle here is, when did this start? 1989, after Tiananmen, George H.W. Bush sent Brent Scowcroft for the National Security Advisor to Beijing to talk to Deng Xiaoping. That was the moment that everything was moving. Is that when the promise of trade happened? Did Brent Scowcroft say, we'll fix things for you? Don't worry about the fact that you've just massacred 3,000 students.
That's exactly what Brent Scowcroft said, or certainly that's a very good paraphrase. And what it also signaled to China, I think even more important, was that U.S. policy is going to care a lot more about expanding economic ties with your regime as opposed to human rights or even national security considerations. Now, to be fair, those national security considerations were awfully far in the future at that point, but it didn't take a strategic genius to understand that if that trend in U.S. policy continued, that China would become a lot stronger economically, and therefore it would be able to actually pay for and to support a much stronger military, and that the Chinese were not necessarily going to be especially friendly to U.S. national security interests, especially in the East Asia-Pacific area.
Gordon, when the Clinton administration gave China an access to the WTO, did they exact any cost?
Really, no. There was a 1999 agreement which paved the way for China's accession into WTO. And that agreement had China make certain concessions. When you look at the text of the agreement, the concessions are significant. The problem is that China violated most of its promises made to the United States and others after it acceded to the WTO. So in a sense, it didn't make concessions because it didn't comply with its agreements.
You have a question for Alan. We have a couple of minutes.
Right.
Alan, China is trying to show itself to be the defender of global free trade. They paint the United States in very dark terms. Do you think this will work around the world?
I think it's going to be an abysmal failure, largely because of that overcapacity in so many industries that China has deliberately fostered. And the reason that China has been manufacturing so many more products than it actually consumes is that its population, for all the very impressive economic progress China's made in boosting prosperity since the first free market reforms were introduced in the early 1980s, its population is still way too poor to support the kind of growth that China needs to advance further by consuming China's own output. And therefore, in order to progress further, China needs to find markets outside of China, which are wealthy enough to buy all of this overcapacity. But other countries are getting fed up. And no matter what they might say about Donald Trump being the main threat to the so-called world trading system, they keep putting tariffs on Chinese imports, and they're going to continue until the overcapacity and that basically product dumping stops.
Alan Tonelson, our guide. Reality Check is where you can find his blog, our guide on manufacturing and trade. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.